And you know it's not June without the Greater Columbus Arts Festival. For years, it was held along the east bank of the Scioto River on Civic Center Drive. But the construction of the Scioto Mile forced the festival to spend the last few years in the Discovery District along Gay Street, Long Street, Washington Avenue, 9th Street, and Cleveland Avenue. And with more is the Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Events for the Greater Columbus Arts Council, Jamie Goldstein. Welcome to the show. And
thanks, Brian.
Yeah, you're like the very first guest on this new show.
I'm honored.
Yeah, it took us like the sixth week. So the Columbus Arts Festival is celebrating its golden anniversary this year. It's 50 years of bringing together artists from around the country, and some from even around the world. In the past 49 years of the festival, over 12,000 artists have shown their works at the Columbus Arts Festival. How is the Greater Columbus Arts Council going to celebrate 50 years of the Columbus Arts Festival?
Well, on top of all of the wonderful things that people have come to expect from the Columbus Arts Festival, we have lots of new programs and initiatives this year, which are very exciting, and I know that you're going to ask me about some of them, but I'll just mention them briefly and hopefully go into more detail. We've got an emerging artist program, so we've got 10 local artists from around Central Ohio who are going to be displaying their work. We have a new Savor the Arts presented with Dine Originals, so we've got gourmet food back at the festival. We have a partnership with Franklin Park Conservatory and their Native Butterfly program, so people are going to get a sneak peek at 12 very large, wonderfully colorful painted butterflies at the Arts Festival. We're presenting Connect a Million Minds with Time Warner. Time Warner Cable is also our presenting sponsor for the festival. We are so grateful for them. Connect a Million Minds will be on Saturday, June 4th, with lots of activities presented by local arts organizations that take a look at the arts through the lens of science. So that should be a lot of fun. We're offering VIP packages this year. Anyone who's an avid festival fan can come down. The pass is good all weekend, private restrooms, free water, a private tent to relax in with comfortable seating, personal shopping assistance, and transportation to your car if you wish it, a signed commemorative print and festival t-shirt, and that's all for just $95.
Wow.
And the pass is transferable, so you can come down and then give it to a friend the next day if you wish. We're going to have a mobile app that will be ready probably next week, and people can download it and get real-time weather if they have Wi-Fi, as well as artist gallery, music performing schedules, sound files from the artists who are going to be performing on the stages, and lots more.
Yeah, I wish I had internet on my phone, but yeah. Also new this year is the Emerging Artists Program, where artists from the 8-county region of Central Ohio who have little to no experience exhibiting or selling work at outdoor venues have the opportunity to get their name out. How does the Emerging Artist Program work in terms of who gets selected and how the selection process goes to being an emerging artist?
The Emerging Artist Program actually grew out of an idea we've often heard from people in this city. Why aren't there more Columbus artists in the show? And it's a valid question, and it's a complicated answer, because not all artists are festival artists. It's a hard life, and you really have to want to choose it. You put your own resources in it, your own money to travel, to do all of this. But there are, and many Columbus artists are doing really well with their own websites and gallery representation here or in other cities. So if you wanted to be a festival artist and you didn't really know how to break into the circuit, those are the folks we wanted to reach. We had more than 30 applications for this category, emerging artists. They were juried by a blind jury, and it was the same jury that selected all of our other artists with over 1,100 applications. We had 240 spots. So the jury selected all of these emerging artists. They juried them against their peers in this category, and they selected the top 10. And then what we did was we're giving them a little bit of a leg up. Their booth fee is a little bit less. We're doing some hand holding, some boot camps to help them understand what it is they need to have on site. Like, oh my God, I didn't realize I needed duct tape. And what else they can expect in terms of questions from customers, etc. And then we've also paired them with a mentor artist, a very experienced festival artist who can help them sort of navigate the weekend, if you will.
And new this year is Savor the Arts with Dine Originals. I mean, everybody's bragged about Dine Originals restaurants because they're like the elitist of the restaurants in Columbus. And this is a unique part of the festival because a lot of people don't know that cooking is an art form itself. I mean, approximately how many Dine Originals restaurants are taking part in the festival this year?
Well, absolutely, cuisine is an art form, and we wanted to showcase that. This actually harkens back to the days when we had a section of the festival called Gourmet Fair, and that hasn't been around for some time. The presentation of this is a little bit different. All of the 13 Dine Originals restaurants that are participating are going to be in one tent, and you buy $5 coupons, and the tapas offerings that the restaurants will have will either be $5 or $10 offerings, and so you get to sample some wonderful chowders and sandwiches and appetizers and desserts, and I've seen the menus, and they're up on the Columbus Arts Festival website, columbusartsfestival.org. You can go to the Savor the Arts page and whet your appetite a little bit.
The Columbus Arts Festival in its first 49 years is not just about visual arts. I mean, there are other aspects of art as well at the festival for people to see, like probably like some writers or some musicians, dancers.
We do those, yeah. We have actually 16 bands on the main stage that'll perform throughout the weekend. We have some other local groups and family-oriented groups that'll perform on the hands-on art stage in the museum parking lot, as well as the Ohio Magazine poetry stage. We call it the Word is Art stage. So we've got poets that are and storytellers that are presenting all weekend. That's in front of the Kanzani Center. And on Saturday night, it's a lot of fun. We have a poetry slam. So we had a competition, and then the top three of those poets will present, and then we do a slam where people in the audience, in a real fun way, get to vote on the poets.
Yeah, one of my favorite videos on YouTube recently, I watched the Columbus Underground website where everybody splattered in paint. Tell me about the making of that video, because there are like a lot of people from the local media, ranging from Jerry Revish and Karina Nova, Angela Ann and Angela Pace from WBNS10 TV, Walker and Dan Evans from ColumbusUnderground.com and The Metropreneur, plus some local bloggers, and then other people like people from the Columbus Young Professionals Club, and the list is like endless. I mean, I loved it. I mean, I wish I was a part of it, but I was curious to see how that idea got started and who was the brainchild.
Well, it was really sort of a group idea. You know how things sort of there's a little seed of something, and then it grows into this wonderfully colorful thing. So I think it really started with our logo. We redesigned our logo this year, and the 50 is represented in a paint splotch. And somewhere along the way, I think it was actually our graphic designer for all our print materials, who also did a really wonderful representation, these big color circles and all things art at the Columbus Arts Festival. He said, wouldn't it be fun if you did some kind of viral video? And from there, we started thinking, what would that look like? What could be fun? And I called on a couple of my really good friends, Mike Brown and Jim Coleman, to sit down with me at Tommy's Diner, and we put together a little plan about how you could do something with like this with the least amount of chaos. And thanks to our very good friends at WOSU, Cindy Gaylard and her folks, she was really the director in the day. Somehow, in the span of about 5 hours, we were able to get more than nearly 100 people through by representing them as groups. And what was really great was, I think I probably owe a lot of people some pretty big favors for allowing us to do this to them, considering where they ended up with paint and how long it tended to last in those places. But it was just so much fun. Cindy and her crew actually came up with the delivery mechanism for the splattering, which ended up being super soaker guns and large restaurant condiment bottles. And really, people had the choice to, what do you want to do? Do you want to splatter each other with paint? Do you want us to splatter you with paint? Some people selected both. And I have to say, one of my I loved Jerry and Karina. I thought their little fake news segment was awesome. Probably one of my favorites was Coda's ode to Abbey Road, which was pretty good. Yeah. If you haven't seen the video, go to ColumbusArtsFestival.org to check it out. It's right on the front page. And we used music by two local bands, which was really important to me. So Maza Blaska and the Fantods are the two soundtracks that are featured in there. So We had a blast, and we all ended up incredibly covered with paint. So
yeah, and it was shot at 400 West Rich Street building in Franklinton.
Yeah, I have to have a say big thanks to Chris Sherman and his crew who got the space cleaned up and allowed us to color it up a little bit.
And less than 9 months from now, Columbus will celebrate its bicentennial. And what is the Greater Columbus Art Council's role in next year's bicentennial plans for Columbus?
GCAC is really honored to be heading up the celebrations committee for the bicentennial. So we're working very closely with Experience Columbus, who's handling promotions. And we've convened a group of nearly 40 people representing social services, arts and culture, neighborhoods, the city, really everything. We tried to get as broad a representation as possible to come up with an event strategy. What are we going to do? How are we going to celebrate this? So we have some signature events that we're doing. We're trying to spread the word in the community to organizations and help give them ideas and the tools they need to build their own celebrations. And really make this, it's not just about Columbus proper, it's about all of our neighborhoods and the whole, we're really a regional community. So we're bringing in Dublin and Upper Arlington and everybody from around Central Ohio to help us really celebrate what a great community Columbus is.
Yeah, it's a great...
For the next 200 years.
It's a great community. I mean, too bad I wasn't alive back in 1976 for the U.S. Bicentennial.
I was. I'm probably dating myself a little bit, but I was. And that was fun. I mean, that's the other part of it, too, where we have an education subcommittee that's helping to try and figure out how we can engage school kids in this effort and really help them, help us celebrate the bicentennial. So there'll be some interesting, hopefully there'll be some interesting artwork that comes out of that.
Yeah, and I think the bicentennial is, I believe, Valentine's Day or somewhere around that.
It is. The actual birthday of Columbus is February 14th. So, yes, it is Valentine's Day, and so we're all going to celebrate on Valentine's Day how much we love our city.
I definitely do. Now, the festival work does not end at 5:59 on Sunday night of the festival, because a large event like this, or like Comfest, or like Red, White, and Boom, all large-scale events in general don't have an off-season, even though the actual event is only 3 days at the most.
That's correct. We have 2 full-time staff who work year-round, along with a coordinating committee of nearly 65 people who work year-round, volunteer coordinating committee, to help us plan the festival. And it really does take the whole year. And I could say particularly for the 50th anniversary, because of all these new initiatives, most of which we will continue. But we also have a big move coming up. So for 2012, and in celebration of the bicentennial, the Arts Festival will be back on the riverfront. And so we're going to be working very hard to resite everything and make sure that people have just as great a time on the riverfront as they have in the Discovery District for the past 4 years.
And so when did the festival first move to the riverfront?
It was, I don't know the exact year. It was on the state. It actually started on the State House lawn.
Yes.
I think it might have been, that was in 1961, and I think it might have been like 73... right around the early 70s, early to mid 70s, that it moved to the riverfront. And I've done a hard hat walking tour of the Cider Mile, and this was several months ago, but every time I drive down there, it's going to be so beautiful. It really, really is. It's amazing what the city has done. Bicentennial Park is going to be incredible. The fountain, the new stage. We are really going to have a great time down there.
Downtown Columbus is coming back.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have that, you have the Commons, is like going back and forth.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. We're hopefully going to do some cooperative programming with Kappa for the weekend of the Arts Festival when we're back on the riverfront. So there'll be a lot of stuff for people to see and do downtown the first weekend in June in 2012.
Exactly. Well, thank you for sitting down with me. It was a pleasure for
Absolutely.
You to be here.
Thank you
and
very much.
Again, the Greater Columbus Arts Festival, Friday, June 3rd, Saturday, June 4th, and Sunday, June 5th in the Discovery District. And find out more at...
ColumbusArtsFestival.org.
Well, thank you.